David, you got this great. It's not this table.
What happened? I didn't take my bag with me.
Rabbi Schechter, what are you going to say now about Chalitza?
That's a good question. What can I say, Rabbi? It's a very good question. Every government has to have an army to protect themselves. So the Jewish government has to have an army also. We're not happy about the waging wars, but this is one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. It's one of the mitzvahs. We have a lot of dinim, Hilchos Milchama. We were learning to the end of Masechet Sot, the whole parak. Parak Mashuach Milchama has some of the dinim, not all of the dinim, but some of the Hilchos Milchama. They tell the story that the Satmar Rebbe always used to visit Eretz Yisrael when it was time for elections, to discourage everyone from participating in the elections. He held that you're not allowed to vote, whatever. Not allowed to vote at some elections. He held you are allowed to some elections, not allowed to municipal elections as opposed to national elections, whatever. He had a pilpul. So they had signs all over that it's a mitzvah to vote for the Aguda. So he went to the Gerer Rebbe, that's how the story goes, and he asked him, it's a mitzvah to vote for the Aguda. What kind of a mitzvah? A mitzvah like eating matzah? What kind of a mitzvah? So he said, not exactly, a mitzvah like eating maror. Not so happy about participating in the elections. All right, so that was what he said. This is a mitzvah that's worse than maror. To have an army and to fight and to kill people, who's happy about that? It's lechatchila we would rather not have, but every government has to have an army. So the Torah says that the army has to have a mashuach milchama. You have to appoint a kohen to give musar to the soldiers and to declare those who are chozer miyorche hamachama. We learned in the end of Saito. First, he had to give them a pep talk. Al yerach levavchem. They shouldn't be afraid. The Rebbe Shalom is going with them to help them fight the war. But he would also announce, Mihu isha she'er esisha v'loy lekocha, yelech v'yoshu v'lebeisi, Mihu isha she'bon v'bais v'loch ha'nocha, Mihu isha she'not te'kerem v'loy chilolo, the people who are potter from the army. So the Gemara says there in Sota that there are different kinds of melchama. There's melchamas harishus, and then there's melchamas mitzvah. So the Gemara says, these pturim, the three chayzer me'yorcha ha'melchama, Eres Isha below the Kacha, or if he married a woman, Nasa Isha, for sure he's put that big a Ptur. Bonad Bais below Chanocha, and not the Karen below Chilolo. The Pturim only apply to Melchemes or Shus. So Melchemes Mitzvah, you don't have any of the Pturim. So the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs writes that Memela there's no need for a Koin Mashoch Melchama by a Melchemes Mitzvah, because the main thrust of the Drosha that he gives is about those who are Potter from the army. Melchemes Mitzvah, no one is Potter. So it does make sense to have a Mashoch Mecham. The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah says not so. The Perek begins, Echem Lechemes Mitzvah, Echem Lechemes Hoshus, Nemanim Koim Ledabril Ha, you appoint a Koim Mashoch Mecham by both. So the Mepharshim on the Rambam point out that the Rambam himself in the Sefer Mitzvahs writes not so. He contradicts himself. It's a question, did they appoint a Mashoch Mecham when they had a Lechemes Mitzvah? The Ravid writes on the side of the Rambam there that if they did appoint a Mashoch Mechama, he only said that part of the drasha. There's a whole drasha in the Chumash. He didn't say the part of the pturim, the exemptions. That doesn't make sense to say that. He gave the drasha that Hashem Elokecha Misalch Mekarach Mehanecha Lahatzilach V'Lasevecha Biyadecha. He gave the other part of the drasha, the chizuk, the direct chizuk. And the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvahs hold that doesn't make sense to say half of the drasha, not all of the drasha, because the halacha requires that the Mashoch Mechama has to recite the parsha Kichsava, the way it's written in the Chumash. He can't paraphrase it, so he's going to leave out three psukim from the middle, so does the shaynish Kichsava. Kichsava means you have to say from the beginning to the end. So it's a question of Rishonim. A machlekes, the Rambam and the Rambam. Machlekes. My father learned by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. So he said that my father told me that Ramash Soloveitchik would often talk about the Rambam. A lot of times changed his mind from the Pirush HaMishnayos, which he wrote earlier, to the Mishnah Torah, which he wrote later. So he said you have to spend time understanding the first sheet of the Rambam also. He was a Rambam when he had the first sheet too. If it's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, you spend time. So machlekes, the Rambam and the Rambam, you also have to spend time. So here it happens to be a machlekes, the Rambam and the Rambam. The Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvah, which he wrote first, writes that by Mohammed Rishus, by Mohammed Mitzvah, you don't appoint a Moshoch Muhammad. And the Mishnah Torah holds that you do appoint a Moshoch Muhammad. So the Menchas Chinuch has a comment on this. He says he read in Yosifon, in the history book Yosifon, that Yehuda HaMakabi was appointed as a Moshoch Muhammad. So he assumed, the Menchas Chinuch assumes that the Mohammed HaMakabim, Mohammed HaChashbonoim, was a Mohammed Mitzvah. It's a question whether that's accurate, but that's his assumption. What?
There was no Shemen HaMishra.
So that's, we'll get to that. So the Menchas Chinuch says, don't you see that even in the Mohammed Mitzvah, you also appoint a Moshoch Muhammad? That's his Ha'or.
What else could it be if it's not a Mohammed Mitzvah? Ah,
Mohammed Rishus. The question is, do you have a right to wage a war where you think in advance that you don't stand a chance to win? It was, is Giborim Bar Chaloshim Rabbi Mad Miatim. And the name Samchim Al Anes. It happened that Anes occurred and they won the war. But B'derech HaTeva didn't make sense that they didn't stand the chance of winning. So do you have a right? You say that's a Mohammed's mitzvah, that's a Mohammed, it's not even a Mohammed's Oshus? You're not allowed to go to war unless you're pretty positive, unless you can never be 100% positive, unless it's Karav Levadai that you're going to win the war. If you're not sure, so you give in to the enemy. So Pikuach Nefesh, there's no mitzvah to fight a losing battle. So that's a question. Was the Mohammed's HaChashmonai, was it really a Mohammed's mitzvah? Was it even a Mohammed's Oshus? Chemes Midian, they were instructed. The Kom Nikhams Berei Sol Meis HaMidjanim. The Rebbe Shalom was Mitzavah then. That's the question. Was Pinchas the Moshoch Muhammad or was it something else? That's what Davne Nezer discusses. Because the Pasuk in Chumash says, how does it say? V'chatzotzos hasrua biyado. It says Pinchas went Chatzotzos Hatrua Biyado. What is that Chatzotzos Hatrua? So there's a din in Parshas Behaloscha, I think. Yisavim Muhammad Beyarzachem, Alatzar Tzareschem, Hariyosem Chatzotzos. There's a mitzvah whenever there's a Tzoras Hatzibur, and one example is Muhammad Beretz Yisrael is a Tzoras Hatzibur. Even if 95% of the world Jewry live in Chutz Loritz, whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Klal Yisrael. Whenever there's a Muhammad in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Tzoras Hatzibur. Whenever there's a Tzoras Hatzibur, but there's a mitzvah to blow Chatzotzos, means a stronger form of tefillah. It's Zo'oka. Bariyosem Chatzotzos. You should blow Chatzotzos. So the Avdei Nezer raises a question. Maybe that mitzvah of blowing Chatzotzos only, Kesava Muhammad Biyarzachem, when the enemy comes to attack in Eretz Yisrael. What if the Jews go to attack against Midian? We don't have a, it's not a Tzoras HaTzibur. We're going out to wage a war. The Rebbe Shalom told us we have to wage a war. So he raises the possibility maybe that wasn't, maybe there were, it says Chatzotzos HaTrua Biyado, they were blowing truest, but it wasn't in fulfillment of that din of Hariyosem HaChatzotzos. Maybe that din only applies when there's a Tzoras HaTzibur, when they attack us. We're attacking them not. Mohammed Smidya for sure was a Mohammed Smidya. That was a Hirashah, they should go wage. But the shad is by the Chashmonai. Was it really? Did they have the right to wage war? They have the right to wage war. They thought in advance they didn't stand the chance of winning. That's a shayla. Take for example, the Midrashim say Amraphel had his name because Omar Pul. He said they should throw Avraham Avinu into the Kibshan Reish because Avraham Avinu didn't want to worship Avodah Zarah. Then they threatened, if you don't want to worship Abizah, we're going to kill you. So he said, okay, he's going to give up his life, Al-Kiddush Hashem. So the Mishlah Melech has a Sefer Drush that's called Parashas Drachim. So he raises a question. This is one of the Asar Nisyonish in Isnas Avram Avinu. And it was a tremendous miracle that he wasn't burnt in the Kibbush. How come it doesn't mention that in the Chumash? How come it's only left to the Midrashim? The Chumash should record this miracle that he was spared. So he suggests that really Avraham Avinu did Shaloi Kedin, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a discussion on Daf Ayin Dalet. We have a din of Yehoreg Bal Yavam. A Jew is not permitted to worship Avodah Zarah, and if his life is threatened, either worship Avodah Zarah or you're going to lose your life. So the Haftos Hashem Malkecha B'chol Napshecha Filan Noitalas Napshecha. You have the mitzvah of Avodah Hashem, you have to give up your life. So the Gemara has a discussion whether that applies to Bnei Noach. The Nochrim only have seven mitzvahs. Avodah Zarah is one of the seven mitzvahs, not to worship Avodah Zarah. But they don't have the mitzvah of Haftos Hashem Malkecha B'chol Napshecha. So should I say, well, that's self-understood. That's part of the din of Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, even if it means that you lose your life. Maybe we should say no. Pikuach nefesh is doiche Avodah Zarah. By Bnei Yisrael, there's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. There's a mitzvah of Yehavtas Hashem Lekecha. B'chol nafshech hafil anotolas namshecha. By Nochem, there is no such mitzvah. So Bnei Noach are not mitzvah. So that's a machlekes. So the Gemara has a discussion, and it's unclear what the maskana is. It's unclear what the maskana is. So the Rambam holds la aloch and hilchus yisrei ha-Torah. The Rambam holds only Bnei Yisrael. That's how that perikay begins. Kol beis yisrael mitzuvim al kiddush Hashem agadol. He starts off in the first line, kol beis yisrael mitzuvim. And then when he gets to halachas, he says, Bnei Noach are not mechuyev to give up their life for Avodah Zarah. If his life is threatened, if he's going to not worship Avodah Zarah, so he should give in. So the Mishnah Melech says, perhaps according to the Rambam, that by Nochrim there is no such din of Yehoreg Bal Yavar, maybe that's why the Chumash didn't record this Maifis, because the whole story of Avraham Avinu did Shaloi Kedin. So what do you mean he did Shaloi Kedin? But that's considered one of the Asar Nisyanis of Avraham Avinu. Yeah, he held that this is a Chil Hashem. Of course it's going to be a Chil Hashem. Everybody's worshiping Avodah Zarah and everybody's giving in. Of course. So he's not mitzuvah, but as an aid of mitzuvah of Yosef, he volunteered to prevent the Chil Hashem. So the Chashmonoim also, strictly speaking, it could well be, some Achreinim hold like that, could well be that they weren't mechuyev. It wasn't the Mochemes mitzvah, wasn't even Mochemes Oshus. They had no right to wage war, because the odds were 99-1 that they're going to lose the war, more than 99-1. They didn't stand the chance of winning the war. And a miracle occurred and they won the war. So it could be that really the whole thing was Shaloi Kedin, but that they felt it's a Chil Hashem, that the Beis HaMikdash, Beis Hashem, should be used for Avodah Zarah purposes. And all the Jews are converting to Hellenism. Everybody's worshiping Avodah Zarah. So they wanted to do a Kiddush Hashem, so they went Shaloi Kedin. Sometimes Allah says, Chatei Bishvil Shatiske, you're allowed to violate an Avera if you're going to gain something tremendous. Take, for example, the Rambam's opinion is, Machlek is the Rambam and Tosfos, so the Rambam's opinion is, whenever there's a din that pikuach nefesh is doicha, a certain avera, then you're not allowed to volunteer to give up your life. Let's say Nochri comes with a gun and he threatens to kill me unless I eat chazer. He knows that chazer is not permissible for the Jews. He knows I'm a rabbi. And he holds a gun and he says, he's going to kill me unless I eat the chazer. So the din is that pikuach nefesh is doicha, so I should eat the chaza, unless it's b'fahesya. If it's b'fnei asorim Yisrael, then you have to give up your life. Or if it's
change the shoelaces, they had to give up.
Change the shoelaces, that's b'shas hashmad. So b'shas hashmad, if there's a gzera, if there's a gzera against the Jews, then the din is yohareg val yava. But let's say it's not b'shas hashmad, and it's not b'fahesya, so then the din is that you're supposed to eat the chaza, and pikuach nefesh is doicha the isra of chaza. So the Rambam has a machlekes b'taisus, and what if the person wants to do a midas chasidus, wants to give up his life rather than to eat the chasidus? So the Rambam says it's like suicide. You're not allowed to give up your life. It does not constitute a midas chasidus. Taisus disagrees. The Balei Taisus always felt that there is room to give up your life. So the Mefarshim ask on the Rambam, there are Gemaris against the Rambam. The Gemara is beferish that even where the din is that pikuach nefesh is doicher, in different generations, tzaddikim did give up their lives. So on the side of the Rambam, the case of Mishnah quotes from the Muki Yosef on Sanhedrin. So he says, if it's an unusual tzaddik, and he's looked up to by the people in the generation, he feels they're going to accomplish a Kiddush Hashem, then the Rambam also agrees that you're allowed to, as a Midas Chassidus, that's a Kiddush Hashem. Okay, a Kiddush Hashem is once in a long while. A Yotzim in a Klal. He's not Mischai B'Nafsha because of committing suicide, because he's doing a Kiddush Hashem. So some say that that's the story with the Chashmonoim. That the Chashmonoim is really neither a Mechemes Mitzvah nor a Mechemes Oshus. The whole thing was Shaloi Kedin. But they just couldn't take it. The blood was boiling. The Beis HaMikdash is being used for Avodah Zarah purposes. And so many people are converting to Hellenism. And the whole religion is disappearing. So they figured they'll commit suicide. They'll Kiddush Hashem. They'll wage a war that they didn't stand the chance of winning. Life was not worth living to see all of this that was happening. And it turned out that an Nes occurred like Avram Avinu. What he did was Shaloi Kedin. By Bnei Noach, according to Ram, not supposed to give up their lives, but it paid off for him. In the end, he accomplished a big Kiddush Hashem, and he got many other people to believe in monotheism.
Why couldn't you classify it as a defensive war, which is also Melchemes Mitzvah? I mean, true that the Greeks weren't actually attacking them, but basically they were attacking spiritually, so why can't you say that they're fighting a defensive war?
L'hatzol Yisrael for Hatzolos Yisrael, that is a Melchemes Mitzvah. L'hatzolos Yisrael means if their lives are being put in danger. But if the religion is put in danger, so how do you know you have a right to wage a war if you know you're going to lose the war? They knew in advance that the Pashtos are certainly going to lose the war. They didn't stand. They have no haftarah. They didn't have a Navi who promised them, who told them they're going to win the war. If you don't have a Navi, so you have no right to go to war unless you're almost positive that you're going to win the war. But if you're not sure, and for sure they weren't sure, they were sure the other way they're going to lose. But the Menchas Chinuch assumes like that. Menchas Chinuch assumes that the Melchemes HaChashmonoim were certainly Melchemes Mitzvah. So he tines the fact that in Yosefon it says that Yehud HaMaki was appointed the Mashiach Muhammad. So you see, you have it in. You see, like the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, that even Melchemes Mitzvah you also appoint a Mashiach Muhammad. The Shaila is, how could they appoint a Mashiach Muhammad? The Shemen HaMishcha was Nignaz at the end of the period of the Bais Rishon. It's a pasuk in Divrei Hayom. Yoshua HaMelech was going as the Shemen HaMishcha. And the whole Tkufas Bais Sheni, they appointed Kohanim Gedolim through Ribui B'Gadim. So they couldn't do Mashicha B'Shemen HaMishcha on a Kohen Mashoch Melchama. They couldn't do Ribui B'Gadim either. That's what the Dvar Avram asked that Kasha. Because Ribui B'Gadim means a regular Kohen does avoid in the Beis HaMikdash wearing a uniform that consists of 4 B'Gadim. Kohen Gadol has to wear a uniform that consists of 8 begodim, 8 begodim. So, if you don't have Shemen HaMishcha, the whole period of the Bais Sheni, there was no Shemen HaMishcha. How did they appoint the Kohen Gadol? They had him put on the uniform of the 8 begodim, and he did Avodah. And Avodasa Mechan Chosma, doing the Avodah, and he was chosen by the Sanhedrin. So that's how he became a Kohen Gadol. But the Kohen Gadol wears 8 begodim. The Mashiach Muhammad does not wear 8 begodim. When he does the Gemara in towards the end of Yuma, list of which of the dinim of the Kohen Gadol apply to the Mashiach Muhammad, which not. Some of the dinim do apply, some of the dinim don't apply. So the Gemara says that the Kohen Mashiach Muhammad, when he goes to the Beis HaMikdash to be Makar of Karbonis, he only wears Arbob Godim. He doesn't wear Shemayim Godim. So how can you say that he becomes a Kohen Mashiach Muhammad through Meruba Begodim? He's not a Meruba. He doesn't wear extra Begodim. He wears the same Begodim as the Kohen Hedya. So how can he possibly become a Mashiach Muhammad? That's the Dvar Avram works on that kash. So Moshe Soloveitchik gave a teretz. He said that there are 3 levels of Kohanim. There's a Kohen Hedyot, then there's a Kohen Mashoch Mechama. He has half of the dinim like a Kohen Hedyot, half of the dinim like a Kohen Gadol, and then there's a Kohen Gadol that has all the dinim of a Kohen Gadol. So the din says that for reciting the parsha for the troops, for the soldiers, a Kohen Hedyot is not good enough. You have to have something higher. Someone who has a higher level of Kedusha's Kahuna. So a Kohen Mashiach Muhammad is good. If you can't have a Mashiach Muhammad, so Yesh Bechal Masai Mana. Kohen Gadol has what the Mashiach Muhammad has plus more. He has a higher level of Kedusha's Kahuna. He has Kedusha's Kohen Gadol all the way with all the dinim. So that's why Moshe Soloveitchik said, if this record that's recorded, if what the Menchas Chinuch quotes from Yosefon is correct, could be it's not correct. If it is correct that they really appointed Yehuda Maccabi as a Mashiach Muhammad, what it has to mean is that they appointed him as a Kohen Gadol. You can have 5 Kohanim Gadolim at the same time also. There's no din that there's only Chad Bedorah, there's only one. The Mishnah is in Yuma talk, if the Kohen Gadol becomes Tomei on Yom Kippur, so even Manim Kohen Achet Tachtav, they appoint another Kohen Gadol. So you can have 2 Kohanim Gadolim. What do the Kohen Gadol retires? You can have 2 or 3 Kohanim Gadolim simultaneously. The Mishnah is talk about it. You have 2 Kohanim Gadolim walking down the highway, and then there's a meis mitzvah. So which one of them should be metami to the meis mitzvah? So hold this, if you don't need both of them, you only need one. So which one of the two should be? How do you decide who should be metami to the meis mitzvah? So you can have more than one kohen gadol at the same time. So that's where Moshe Soloveitchik suggested maybe they really appointed him as a kohen gadol. So yesh b'chal masai mona, the kohen gadol has a higher level of kedusha than the mashoch mochama. So for sure he's good for the kriyas haparsha. So then he raised the question, so why did they call him Ashok Muhammad? So they should call him the Kohen Gadol. So he suggested, this was the drasha that he delivered at a Chag HaSmicha in the yeshiva. So he suggested that it was relevant then in the 1930s in America. So he suggested that during the period of the Bai Sheni, many of the Kohen Gadolim bought their way into their positions. And a lot of them didn't even last for a year.
Right.
They would die, or someone else would chapai, someone else would bribe the government. They should become kohen gadol. So the title of kohen gadol was not such a bekovedika title at that time. Mashuch Muhammad was probably an erlich yid. It wasn't such a coveted position that everyone would want to pay money for it in order to be appointed. You don't wear the shemayin begadim. Mashuch Muhammad just functions in wartime. So he said maybe. We call him, maybe, if it's true, that Yehuda Maccabi was appointed as a Mashiach Muhammad, means as a Kohen Gadol, but he functioned as a Mashiach Muhammad. So he said, maybe what it means was, he really was a Kohen Gadol. But the name Kohen Gadol is a little bit a dirty name, so it's not such a Bekovedika thing. So maybe that's why they wanted to call him with the more Bekovedika title, the less Bekovedika title, but it was more Bekovedika because they were Erlich Hayidin. So maybe that's why they called him the Mashiach Muhammad. So his suggestion was, that in the 1930s in America there were some of the reform and conservative rabbis. So he was speaking at the Chag HaSmicha, so he said maybe the Talmidim and Yeshiva are getting smicha, maybe they shouldn't call themselves rabbi. It's such a nasty, it's such a dirty name. The others are called rabbi, maybe they should be called a Machanech or Malamed or a Chacham or some other name. Maybe the name rabbi is a nasty name today, like he was guessing. Maybe the title of Kohen Gadol was not a Bekovedika title.
Or at the same time, and now with women being called rabbi, so we should be called something else.
Okay.
Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, he had very specific names for all rabbis. He called them rabbi.
Yeah, rabbis, that's how he calls them.
Rabbi.
Yeah. What is the status of the Mashiach Muhammad? It's an interesting halacha. Some of the dinim he has like a kohen hedyot, some of the dinim he has like a kohen gadol. So there's a famous explanation that they say in the name of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. Rab Soloveitchik said it over in the yeshiva, and it's printed, others have it printed also, that there's a Ramban on Chumash, beginning of Parsha Shmini, when Aaron HaKohen had four sons, Nadab Abi Olozav Yisamar. So on the Yom HaShmini, the Miluim, Nadab Abi died, and Olozav Yisamar were the two sons who didn't die. So the din is that a kohen gadol is not even allowed to be metami to the zayin krovim, but a kohen hedyot is permitted and obligated to be metami to the zayin krovim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to instruct Aaron Avonov that Elazar v'Yisamar should not be metami to their brothers. They should call Mishol v'Altsochon b'nei Yozil Dod Aharon. Their cousins should come and take the mesim out of Ohel Moed. So why the Ramban HaChumash quotes this from the Ravid? The Ravid has a, he doesn't quote B'Shem Amroi, but there are many passages. The Ravid has a running commentary on the Torah's Kohanim, in every standard edition of the Torah's Kohanim. So every so often, the Ramban on Chumash and Vayikra will be quoting lock, stock, and barrel, a whole chunk from this Ravid. And he doesn't say B'Shem Amroi. Apparently, everybody had the Ravid, and they all knew that he was quoting from the Ravid. Like a lot of times, they run on the Rif. The Ran a lot of times has word for word what Rashi has. He doesn't write Pirish Rashi. Everybody knows he's quoting from Rashi. So the Ramban HaChumash every so often. So here this famous Ramban is a quotation from the Ravid in his Pirish on the Torah's Kohanim. Why didn't Elazar v'Yisamar have the obligation of Lo Yitama to be Mitami to the Zayin Krovim, to the two brothers? So he suggests that maybe it was Zohar Rashah because of Simcha's Beis HaMikdosh, okay? Or perhaps it's a real din. Maybe since they all had Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, normally, if my father was a Kohen when my mother became pregnant with me, so I'm automatically a Kohen. But Aaron's four sons, their father was not a Kohen when their mother gave birth to them. Their father, Aaron, was appointed a Kohen after they were already adults, after they were grown already. So they couldn't become automatically Kohanim. So just like Aaron HaKohen needed Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha to make him into a Kohen, to make him into a plain Kohen, so the four sons also needed Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha.
That happened later on. That happened like
That's when it happened. Okay. The Kohanim had Mashiach, and then there was Bechiris HaLeviim also. So all of the five Kohanim, Aaron and all the four sons, they all needed Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, but only Aaron was appointed as the Kohen Gadol. So the Ramban, quoting from the Ravid, suggests that maybe the four sons of Aaron HaKohen, since they needed Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, maybe they had the status like a Mashiach Melchama, and a Mashiach Melchama has half of the dinim like a Kohen Gadol, half of the dinim like a Kohen Hedya. So one of the dinim he has is that he's not allowed to be metame to the seven relatives. One of the dinim is he does avoid a bedalad begodim. He doesn't do avoid a bishmoneh begodim. So that's why Yehuda Maccabi couldn't have become a Mashiach Melchama through merubah begodim, because he does avoid a beis hamikdash with dalad begodim. But the Kohen Mashiach Melchama is also the tame even to the Zayin Krovim. The Gemara discusses it. I think he's not allowed to. I don't remember. The end of Yuma discusses it. No, we assume it was not Netame. Mashiach Melchama
didn't get involved in the bathroom killing people?
No, he doesn't. Mashiach Melchama gives his drasha and then he goes home. You had no choice. When they were waging war, they were killing people right and left. So of course they were Netame Lemeisim. They had no choice. Yeah.
So that's how
there
could have been a paraduma at that time too.
But not in the middle of the war. If they're shooting right and left, there are going to be dead bodies all over the place. Right. It has no time to be. The Kohen is not allowed to be metame lemeis even if he has paraduma ready immediately. He's only allowed to be metame and obligated to be metame to the Zayin Krovim. But Yehuda Maccabi, all the Maccabim, all the Chashmonaim were Kohanim. The father was a Kohen Gadol. That was a discussion in Great Britain at the time of the First World War, that the Kohanim said that the government has no right to draft them because they're not allowed to be metame lemeisim, and when you go to war, by definition, you shoot to kill. So they're not allowed, they can't be drafted into the army. So the chief rabbi had to give a psak. Rabbi Nathan Adler was then the chief rabbi. It was that way before. I forgot already. I think Rabbi Nathan Adler, Paskin, maybe it's before the First World War. So he said that you do draft Kohanim into the army, and the Chabina Rav has in his Chuvis, David Meshami has a Chuvah about this, so he quotes the Mordechai in Gittin, says like that you do draft Kohanim into the army. They have to try to be careful not to be Metamel Mason, but they probably will not always be able to be careful. And he brings the Rai, the Mordechai brings the Rai from the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Mordechai is in Gittin, but it brings the Rai from the Gemara in Kiddushin in the first parak. But the Gemara has a suffix that a regular Kohen in the army has a special din of Yefas Toyar if he falls in love with after the war is over and the Jews won the war and they Vishavisa Shivyo, and we're not going to have an exchange of prisoners. Going to have an exchange of prisoners, so the Jewish people shouldn't marry the non-Jewish prisoner. They may be causing one Jewish prisoner less to be freed and exchanged. So after the Jews win the war and there's no need for any exchange of prisoners, so then the Torah said, "Shavisa shivya, v'risa v'shivya, es yifas toya, v'chashakta ba v'lakachta l'chol yisha." So it's a special heter that the Jewish soldier is allowed to marry the nochris, and even if he holds she has to convert before the whole story, but it's a forced conversion. It's not there is no kabbalah sol mitzvah here. It's a geris bal karcha over here.
I thought the only reason they were allowed to do it during wartime, and at that time, a lot of dinim were suspended.
No, but here it says
it's after the war.
It's after the war is over. The Pasuk says.
Yeah, but why would they be allowed?
Because they haven't seen their wives in so long. Even after the war is over, it takes a long time till they go back to their wives, till they go back home. So this is Mefurish in the Pasuk, that the only time there's a Heti Yifastar is after the war is over and the Jewish people won the war, and there isn't going to be a need for exchange of prisoners. So then there's a special heter that the Jewish soldier is not allowed to intermarry. Here's basically a heter intermarry. She's allowed to marry the Nochris, Some Rishonim hold the Bir Rishon is Mutter ben Achri Yusa. Others hold that the Bir Rishon is Asa ben Achri Yusa, but if it's a Ger is Bal Karcha. So there's a Chiddush over here. So the Gemara has a Safek. What if a Kayin is in the army? Is he Mutter b'Fastar? Because a Kayin marrying a Geyoris is also not allowed. Even if it's a perfect Geyoris, is not allowed. So the Gemara has a discussion whether the Heti b'Fastar applies only to non-Kohan, but even applies to Kohan. So that's what the Chibina Rav quotes in the Mordechai Gittin, you see from the Gemara Beferish, that there are Kohanim who are serving in the army. If the Kohanim are not drafted in the army, so what's the whole discussion? Whether they're mutter b'fastar?
How is it different from a doctor? Forget about medical school. Somehow you did go to medical school, but the Kohen is allowed to be a doctor. So how is it different from a soldier or a doctor? You're exposed to medicine.
What do you mean a Kohen is allowed to be a doctor?
No. There's no issue for a Kohen to be a doctor, except about medical school is a problem. No, once he's a doctor already, he could go to the hospital. Even though his patient may die, or he's exposed to racism.
He's trying to save the patient.
The soldier is also trying not to get killed.
No, but the soldier has to. When the doctor sees that someone dies in a hospital, he runs out of the hospital. There'll
unless
be the patient.
Unless it's his patient, I guess. Pikuch nefesh.
No, but in the army, you stay in the army even after you know that there are dead bodies all over the place. You can't just run out. In the hospital, the Kohen is supposed to run out as soon as they announce that there's a dead person.
Someone's in here, Hamid Lund. Now, if you go to the Mises HaKohen, now you have many Kohan Gadol, so...
Any one of them. The Mishnah said any one of them dies. The Mishnah has a Machlokes HaTanaim. What if the Mashuch Muhammad dies? Shulch Mechama is halfway in between Kohen Hedyon and Kohen Gadol. So that's a Machlokes HaTanaim in the Mishnah Makas, where the Mises, Mashuch Mechama also is Machzer HaRetzeach or not, because he has some of the Dinim like a Kohen Gadol and some of the Dinim like a Kohen Hedyon. Right. So there's such a, the Ramban HaChumash writes at the beginning of Parsha Shmini, he's quoting from the Ravid, that it could be that Eloza v'Yisomar were not permitted to be Metameh to their brother Mi'ikar HaDin, because since they all needed Mashiach b'Shem and Amishcha, so maybe they all had the status not only as a Hirua Shoah Nishmini Limilui, maybe for the rest of their lives, maybe they all had the status of a Mashuch Mechama. What does he mean by that, Mashal? So that's what they quote in the name of Rab Chaim to explain a lot of other things. The Mashuch Mechama has the Kedushas Kohen Gadol, but it doesn't have the Shem Kohen Gadol. They do Mashiach b'Shem and Amishcha normally. How does it become a Mashuch Mechama with Mashiach b'Shem and Amishcha? The Mashiach b'Shem and Amishcha is Mekadesh. He gives him Kedushas Kohen Gadol. But they're not Memanahim. They don't give him the title of Kohen Gadol. So that's the same by Bnei Aharon. They all had Mashiach b'Shem and Amishcha because when they were born, when the mother was pregnant with them, the father Aaron was not yet a Kohen. So they all five, Aaron and all the four sons, they all needed Mashiach b'Shem and Amishcha. So it could well be, that's the Ravid suggestion that the Ramban picks up on,
Pinchas was the Madrega of Kohen by Pinchas.
Pinchas originally was not a Kohen.
No.
He was not a Kohen. Then he was appointed a Kohen later. Kodesh Boche gave him also Kohuna. He also became a Kohen. He also needed Mashiach. He's also going to need Mashiach. When he was born, he was not a Kohen. So that's the Ramban suggestion that he has from the.
The point that Kohen Gadol to replace his father.
Yeah.
The Torah said, was it Mashiach involved?
He already had the Mashiach when he was appointed as a Kohen.
But that was not applicable as a Kohen God,
but yeah, but if you hold like this Svarav, the Ravid and the Ramban, he wouldn't need another Mashiach. He already had Kedusha's Kohen Gadol, he just didn't have the Shem Kohen Gadol. So the appointment, that has to be done by the Sanhedrin. So Moshe Rabbeinu had the din. Moshe Rabbeinu Mamakam Ayin Aleph Kot. Moshe Rabbeinu had the din of Sanhedrin. So he appointed Elazar as the Yerush of his father. So he had the Minoy. So he had both. He had the Shem Kohen Gadol and he had the Kedushas Kohen Gadol.
Midrash Rabbi says that when Aaron was not available, then Elazar acted as Kohen. Did avoid the... When Elazar was not available, then Isuma did it. Because we'll be talking about Yom Kippur or something.
I don't know. Not familiar. I don't know.
I think I heard this from you once.
I don't know. I don't remember at all. Okay. I don't know. Everybody today, in all the yeshivas, they're all fond of quoting the Rambam and the end of Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel. The Rambam says, the Rambam doesn't talk about Kohanim, whether you draft Kohanim or not. The Rambam holds that you don't draft Shevet Levi. You don't draft the whole Shevet Levi. Then the Rambam says, why? Because Shevet Levi is supposed to be sitting and learning in the Kollel. Yerimush Patach Leyankev Saras Chali Yisrael. And then the Rambam has the line that they made very famous now. And anyone who wants to volunteer to sit and learn in the Kollel for the rest of his life becomes an honorary member of Shevet Levi. You're not allowed to draft him into the army. The Gemara has an Adorim that you're not allowed to draft the Talmud Chacham into the army. The Gemara doesn't say you don't draft Yeshiva Bachem. The Gemara just says you don't draft Talmid HaChacham, and not every Yeshiva Bachem is a Talmud Chacham. So Talmid HaChacham, you don't draft, that's a din in the Gemara. Shevet Levi, that's a question in Tanoim. Because by Mohammed's Midyan, it says they had to give, every Shevet had to give Elef Lamata, and Shnei Master, Elef Chalutzei Tzavah. 1,000 times 12 is 12,000 soldiers. Why is 1,000 times 12? But Yosef was divided into Menashe and Ephraim. So there should have been 13,000. So either you knock out Shevet Levi, the Rambam follows that opinion in the Sifrei, the Shevet Levi was never drafted, and there were 1,000 from Menashe and 1,000 from Ephraim, or Rashi and Chumash quotes the other opinion from the Sifrei, that Menashe and Ephraim counted as one Shevet. Menashe and Ephraim are two Shvatim for Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, and for the Nisiyim, for other purposes. But for the purpose of the army, for the purpose of the Muhammad with Midian, Menashe and Ephraim together sent 1,000 soldiers, and Shevet Levi gave 1,000 soldiers. So the Rambam holds that Shevet Levi was not drafted. But the Chabin Rav quotes is, Mordechai, not only was Shevet Levi drafted, even the Kohanim were also drafted. He drafted Kohanim also into the army. But Shlomo Levilna has in his Sefer, and the Binyan Shlomo, he quotes the Sefer Achinuch says that women are not mechuyev to hear Parsha Zohar, because the whole purpose of listening to Parsha Zohar is we should know we have to put together an army and we have to fight. And the women are not drafted into the army. So women are not mechuyev to hear Parsha Zohar. So Shlomo Levilna writes in the table of contents to his Sefer, he wrote a whole essay that just like women are not drafted in the army, Kohanim are also not drafted into the army. He was a Kohen. Shlomo Levilna was a Kohen. He was a Dayan of Vilna in the late 1800s. So he assumes you're not allowed to draft Kohanim in the army either. So since Kohanim are not drafted, so they're not Chayv in Parsha Zohar, just like women are not Chayv. So in Mela, they can't be the Balkoire, because Kalapotam and Adover, and Emotzi Sarab and Dechay Vosan. So he writes in the table of contents in three lines, this is what he originally intended to print as this essay, and this number has every Simon has a number, and his brother Rabbi Bezalel Vilna told him to leave it out because it's wrong. So he doesn't say what's wrong about it. He doesn't say, Mistama, what's wrong is that the Mordechai says that you do draft Kohanim into the army. So that's the Shada with the Kohanim with the Levim, but women for sure you don't draft into the army. When many years ago, when under Ben Gurion, they started drafting women into the army, so Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole drasha in the yeshiva in Yiddish. So the first half of the drasha, he was expressing Hakaras HaTayf to Ben-Gurion about the wonderful things. He deserves credit that he made Hakamas HaMedina and he built up Eretz Yisrael and he saw to it that everything was secure. And they had terrorists at that time. They had suicide bombers at that time also, and he would destroy their homes. And he had everything under control. He did a wonderful job. And then in the middle of the drasha, he said, Ober! However, he says, a person takes it upon himself to make all the halachic decisions that to draft women into the army and so on and so forth. So he was complaining. The main part of the drasha was the second half. The first half was the hachana. For the second half, he said, we have to give credit, but credit is due. And hakaras hatov is an iker principle in Jewish religion. But still, so the theme that he developed was, and in Shir he spoke about it, that women were never drafted into the army. And the Chumash has a din that we wage war against our enemy, so we don't kill the Noshim and the Taf. How come we don't kill Noshim and Taf? Because Noshim and Taf are basically civilians. Because the Goyim never used to draft young people, Taf, and the Goyim never drafted the women either. So whenever there's a Melchama, that's Bataris Melchama, so you don't kill Noshim and Taf. Sometimes you have an exception to the rule, Melchemes Amalek, you wipe out everybody, Noshim and Noshim and Taf, because Amalek wanted to wipe out everyone. They wanted to kill every single Jew, so they weren't acting according to the rules and regulations of Muhammad. They're not supposed to kill civilians. So since Amalek wanted to wipe out the whole Jewish nation, so the Baruch Shalom gave a din, that Muhammad is different. And then when it came to the Zayin Umis, that's a different din, that's not a din of Muhammad. The Rambam says if you're walking down the street and you identify someone as one of the Zayin Umis and you have in your power to kill him and you don't, so you mevatel the mitzvah. That's not a form of Muhammad. If I'm walking down the street, Muhammad means you have a Jewish army sponsored by the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. If the Queen of England claims to be a descendant from the Malchus Beis David, that's not called the Jewish government. It has to be a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael sponsoring a Jewish army. Then it's called Machne Yisrael. Then it's called the Jewish army. So then you can talk about Mohammed's mitzvah and so on. So the Rambam gives this description of a case. I'm walking down the street and I know there's no context of a Muhammad at all. There's no army. I'm not part of an army. And I can identify that someone is one of the Zayin Umis. So there's a mitzvah, hachrim tachrimim. You're not mechuyev to put your life in danger in order to fulfill hachrim tachrimim. When you have a melchama, so by definition, you're always putting your life in danger. So pikach nefesh is not doicha. Whenever there's a din of melchama, pikach nefesh is not doicha. If you're pretty positive that you're going to win the war, you can never be vada. If you're pretty positive you're going to win the war, then halacha says you're mechuyev to wage the war, even though you may lose your life, even though a lot of people are going to lose their lives in a melchama. That's the special din of melchama. But if it's not in the context of a melchama, it's just a private individual walking down the street and identify someone as one of the Zayin Umis, then it's a mitzvah, hachrim tachrimim. So if by killing him I'm going to put my life in danger, they're going to kill me, so then nish mechuyim. So if you koch nefesh is not doiche melchama, because by definition, melchama always has sakonas nefesh, but koch nefesh is doiche the mitzvah of hachrim tachrimim. So there, because the mitzvah of hachrim tachrimim is not really a form of melchama. The Rambam says you're walking down the street and you bump into this person from the Zayin Umis, so it's a chayvas hariga, it's a chiyav miso. So that's why the din applies to the Zayin Umis, even to the noshim and the taf. But whenever it's a din of melchama, so noshim and taf are considered civilians. You're not supposed to kill any civilians.
Amulek is also like that. If you see an amulek in the street, you're supposed to kill him.
Doesn't say in Rambam. The Rambam only writes that by Zayin Umis. The Pashtus says amulek is not so. Pashtus says amulek is only melchama l'Hashem amulek medoda. It's only in the context of melchama. Melchama means if there's a Jewish army sponsored by a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. They tell in the biography of the Chasam Sofer, they tell such a story, that the Chasam Sofer once identified a person in Europe as an Amalek, and he said that they should drown him in the mikveh. So the whole story is a pella. How did he know to identify a person as an Amalek? And the Pashtus says that the din of Amalek is not the same as Zayin Umis. Zayin Umis is Hachrim Tachrimim, it's a Chayvas Miso. And Amalek is only Melchama. In the context of Melchama, if you have a Jewish army sponsored by the Jewish government, Shad is what age is tough? Up until what age is tough? So Rashi writes on the second pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar, the Ben Asim Shon of Amalek Kol Yotzei Tzova Lefkudehim, from the age of 20 on. Before the age of 20, Rashi says, it says in Chumash, you don't draft people into the army. The Gemara has that. A person becomes bar mitzvah, a boy becomes bar mitzvah at the age of 13, and a girl becomes bas mitzvah at the age of 12, but there are Gemaras and Midrashim that in order to be chayiv Bedina Shemayim, Karis, Mitzvah B'dei Shemayim, that's only if the person does the Aver after the age of 20. The Bezon Shalmaila doesn't punish before the age of 20. So it means the maturity begins at the age of 12 or 13, and then it develops till 20, and that's when the personality is basically formed, at the end of the age of 20. So Bezon Shalmaila only punishes the person if he does an Avera after he's fully mature. Not from the beginning of the maturity, from the Gemara. So that's what the Pasuk seems to say. Only from the age of 20 on do you draft people into the army. In Eretz Yisrael, they draft people who are younger than 20. So according to Rashi, that's Shaloi Kedin. The Rambam never quotes that din. The Rambam never says, what's the youngest age you can draft people into the army. Strange, but Rashi and Chumash said, that's what it says in the Chumash. Be'erasan shana b'malo, kol yetzit tzova b'Yisrael. That the Noshim and the Taf, means before the age of 20 are not drafted, and the Noshim are not drafted into the army. They're civilians. When we wage war, if we're waging war against Amalek, so the din is, you have to kill even the Noshim and the Taf. If you're waging war against the Zayin Umis, Hachrim Tachrim, Lo Sechai Kol Neshama, also these are exceptions to the rule. But any other normal Muhammad that we wage, so the din is you don't kill the Noshim and the Taf because they are considered, they are civilians. The thing is that whenever you wage war, you're always going to kill civilians. Every army in the world, when they wage a war, civilians always get killed. So that's what we mentioned on different occasions. The Maharal Prague has a commentary on Pirish Rashi Ala Torah. The Gur Aryeh is a commentary on Rashi. Super commentary. So on the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, so it's beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, it says, when Yaakov Avinu is coming back to Eretz Yisrael, and he hears that Esav is coming, so it says, he got very frightened and he was very concerned. So Rashi quotes the Lashon from the Medrash, Vayir Yankam Yoid, Shema Yehorik, he was afraid he may get killed. Vayetzaloi, Shema Yaharik Acher, maybe he'll kill other people. He's going to get involved in a war, he may kill other people. So the Gerari asks, what do you mean? Habo Lahargacha Hashkim Lahargo? So what, if Esav, he hears a message, Yankim sent to Malachim, and then Malachim come back, and they tell him, your brother Esav is coming with a whole army of 400 people, and he's nervous that Esav wants to come kill him, so he's not afraid. Shema Yarg Acherim. So the Gerari says, no, Mistama means, Shema Yarg, he may kill civilians. In the middle of a war, you always kill civilians. So the Gerari says, strictly speaking, every single war in the world is fought like that. You can't be so dainty to be so careful only to kill the soldiers of the other army. That's the halacha. Whenever you're waging a melchama, so unfortunately civilians do get killed. But he felt bad about it. Yaakov Avinu felt bad about it. But that's included in the het melchama. If you have, let's say, if there's no melchama, let's say there's a meshugana, he's going with a gun, he's shooting people, and then he has a human shield. He takes a person in front of him, so that whoever's going to try to shoot him will kill the person in front of him. So the din is that a roidev is nitan latzila ben apshin. Somebody running with a gun, he wants to shoot others, so we are permitted and obligated to shoot the roidev to save everyone else's life. But if the roidev has a human shield in front of him, then you have no heta to kill the human shield, even though a lot of people are going to lose their lives. Fafal? Right, if it's nitan atzila ben apshay, only the right it, but you're not allowed to kill the innocent person. But if you have a mochama, that's a special heter. If it's a shas mochama, then that's what the Gur Aryeh writes, Maharal Miprag writes in the Gur Aryeh, in Vayishlach. Every war is like that. Whenever you have a mochama, there's a heter ritzicha, and the heter ritzicha is not only on the soldiers of the enemy, unfortunately, it's a mitzvah like mor, it's worse than mor. It's a heter ritzicha even on the civilians. If it's necessary, if it turns out you have to, like now, the PLO is the Hamas, they're always in civilian areas, they're always in hospitals, always in with a lot of civilians there. So you're always, by definition, you're always going to be killing a lot of civilians. So the halacha says you have no choice. That's a melchama. Why is that a melchama? Maybe it's only a din of roidev. A din of roidev if it's a private meshugana who wants to kill people. If it's a person, a group of people who want to overthrow the whole government, that's called melchama. That's called the melchama. That's where Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky said b'shaito when they started hijacking airplanes. So they hijacked, there were, I think, three airplanes. They were coming back from Eretz Yisrael to America, two or three. It was in the middle of the summer, I think, August. So the Arabs hijacked the airplanes and they were sitting in Jordan for a couple of weeks till they finally negotiated to they released them. So at that time there was a discussion. Rabbi Huttner was on one of the airplanes. So some of the students of Rabbi Huttner spoke to members of the State Department that they would be willing to put up a lot of money to bribe the Arabs that they should release Rabbi Huttner. So the end of the story was the State Department said, you don't negotiate with terrorists because you're just going to fall in war. So they said they're not going to do anything for them. But before they got the answer from the State Department that that's not the right way to deal with terrorists, so the Agudas Rabbanim had a meeting on that occasion to discuss, was this proper or not? Because there is a Mishnah in Gittin that says, "Ein poyrim b'sashvurim, yeso al kedei demehem." That for many years there was a practice that the Nochrim would kidnap Jewish people and hold up the family, hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. Right. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to give more than the going rate. If there is a slave market and there's a going rate for one person, this age, this strength, so you're allowed to give that amount of money to be paid to do pinyon shvuyim, you're not allowed to give more. So here, there is still a slave market in that part of the world, but they were willing to give more than the going rate to redeem Rabbi Huttner. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Tosfos. Tosfos in Gittin has a comment on a Gemara that if the person who is a Shavuy is an unusual Talmid Chacham, an exceptional leader, so he's worth millions. He's worth more than the going rate. So it's not called more than the going rate. So the students of Rabbi Huttner raised the issue. Maybe they're allowed to give even more than the going rate on the slave market because Rabbi Huttner was such an important person for their community. So the Agudas Rabbanim had a discussion. So Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky said, no. He said, we're in the middle of a war. In 1948, they established the Medina. And the Arabs started the war right away. So the only Arab country at that time, the only Arab country that had signed a peace agreement with Medina Sisrael at that time was Egypt. And the others never made a peace agreement. So he said, it's still in the middle of the war. They want to overthrow the Medina. They want to cancel the whole Jewish Medina. So that's in the middle of a Muhammad, there's no mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuim. They have pirates on the sea and they kidnap people and they hold up the family, they hold the person captive until the family will give the ransom money. So that's a topic of Pidyon Shvuim. But in the middle of the war, you don't give money to the enemy in order to help them fight their war? You're supporting the enemy? That doesn't make any sense.
The train that they got out, the train.
Your brand.
They sent more trucks and so forth. They didn't help the enemy.
That was a serious shaman. Okay, that was a serious shaman.
They did it though.
No, they didn't. They didn't give him money.
They did do it. They didn't give him money.
You don't
know. What does Ron mean?
He let people out, but they never gave the trust.
They never came
to him.
Yeah.
They just helped on the sidelines?
I mean, the Kala Mechupasa, yeah, they had to have someone cook the food. Yeah. Kalam Chupasa can do other things, but they never. If you need every single person to fight the war, the Chazanish writes like this: if you need every single person, so you draft the women and the children, and you have to Talmid Chacham, you draft everybody. We're talking if they don't really need everybody, so then we have certain exemptions. So the yeshiva, so the Talmid Chacham in my potter, the Rama Hol Shevet Levi is potter, but sometimes you need everybody. So the Mishnah is talking: you don't really need everybody. Chos and Kala Potter, but if it would have been Melchemes HaRashus, they would have been Potter. Means that he really can do without them. But if it's a Melchemes Mitzvah, so the women do other things. They have to cook the food. Yeah.
Rabbi, if a Kohen is forced to kill somebody, Melchemes Mitzvah, Melchemes HaRashus, what can he duchen?
Right, the Gemara says, Kohen Shehargas HaNefesh is not permitted to duchen. The Gemara says, based on the Pasuk in the opening Parsha in Yeshaya, how does the Pasuk say? Yidechem domim alo. How does it begin? Uvifarischem kapechem. And when you spread your hands out, alem ein amikem, I will ignore your priest's kapayim. Yidechem domim alo. So the Gemara learns out from that Pasuk that a kohen shehargas hanefesh is not permitted to duchen. So Tosfos and Yevamos has two opinions.
That's a murderer.
Right. So Tosfos and Yevamos has two opinions. Is that only not allowed to duchen? What about to be makruv karbonis? The pasuk only says for ischem kapechem, and the kohen stretches out his hands for duchening. Maybe for akrovus karbonis it's mutter. So Tosfos in the first parak in Yevamos has two opinions. So on the Mishnayos, and the big Mishnayos on Bchoris, towards the end of Bchoris, and the Mishnah lists off a boring parak there, boring for me, for doctors it's fascinating. Mishnah lists off all the bali mumen. What mum pasels are carbon, and what mum pasels are coin. So you have to know some biology in order to appreciate what's going on. Like Eli Treifus. I did not appreciate Eli Treifus. I don't know any biology. So the commenting on that Mishnah about the bali mumen, so on the back of the big Mishnah is to have Ha'oris from the Shoel HaMeshiv, from Yosef Shol Natanza. So he comments on that Mishnah, the two opinions in Tosfos, where the coin shargas on nefesh is allowed to be makar of karbonis. So he says there's a beferish Zohar where the Zohar assumes they're not allowed to. The Zohar is bothered with the kasha, how can Pinchas be makar of karbonis? He was hargas hanefesh, he killed someone. So the Zohar discusses that kasha. He
killed Zimri.
So you see mefurish from the Zohar that a kohen shargas hanefesh not only is not allowed to duchen, he's not allowed to be makar of karbonis either. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, based on the same Zohar, that even though Pinchas did the right thing, Abuel Aram is befehesek kanoim pokenbo, and Pinchas did the right thing by killing him. Okay, so he thought that you see from that Zohar is kasha that if a kohen is in the Israeli army and he succeeded in doing his job so well that he killed a few terrorists, the makam mitzvah, he's not allowed to duchen, and when the Beis HaMikdash is built, he won't be allowed to be makam karbonis. He said that even a makam mitzvah, even if he did the right thing. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, it says in Divrei Hayomim, that Dovid HaMelech, the psukim say in Shmuel, every time Dovid HaMelech would be victorious in battle, he would take all the precious metal from the enemy, and he would dedicate it, he would magdish it towards the Beis HaMikdash. He wouldn't keep it for himself to enrich himself. All the gold and the silver and the copper, he was magdish for the purpose of building a Beis HaMikdash. Then he had so much, it was time to, and he chose where the location should be. The halacha says, the shichna sidushu vaso shama, first you have to try to figure out on your own where you're supposed to build a Beis HaMikdash. And then you're supposed to consult with a Navi. So first he figured out on his own, he thought that the proper place should be Ein Itten. That was the highest elevation above sea level in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So he thought it should be Ein Itten. Then he consulted with the Navi, and the Navi said, you guessed wrong, it should be Yerushalayim. It shouldn't be the highest elevation, it should be a little bit lower. So okay, so he did what he's supposed to do. First try to figure out on your own, then you discuss it with the Navi. So he said, okay, let's go build the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Navi tells him, no, Dam Rav Shafachta, you killed so many people, the Beis HaMikdash has to be a Mokum Shalom, and you were a warrior, you killed so many people, so you cannot build the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to have a son, son's name is going to be Shlomo, he's going to be an Ishalom, there'll be peace during his lifetime, your son Shlomo HaMelech will build the Beis HaMikdash. So what was the taina against David HaMelech? He killed terrorists, he was killing Palestinian terrorists, the Plishtim he was killing. So what's wrong with that? So you see, the Pashtus from the Parsha by Devarayamim by David HaMelech, the Pashtus and the Zohar by Pinchas, Afal Pichen, even though it's B'makam Mitzvah, even though these were terrorists that he was killing, still, they're not allowed to duchen. So Chacham Avadi Yosef has a tshuva, he says that's ridiculous, he thinks they did a mitzvah, of course they can duchen. Then he writes in parentheses, you can ask a kasha from a certain passage in the Zohar, that's the whole Meduba was the Zohar. So he says, you can faramfred vein kamakam laharich. That's a line and a half. Vein kamakam laharich. That's Rav Soloveitchik's whole argument was based on that Zohar that the Achrenim quoted. That the Zohar assumes that not only is Misha Argus on Nefesh not allowed to duchen, number one, and not allowed to be Makar Karbonis, and number two, even Argus on, and not only a murderer who does Shaloi Kedin, even if he does B'makam Mitzvah like David HaMelech or like Pinchas did B'makam Mitzvah, still not allowed to duchen.
Now we have dinner about Kahanim in the Oye Mikvah and so forth, what they're allowed to do. If you need them desperately, they can take them back. Even if...
The Mishnah says in Makkos that even if the one who ran to the Oye Mikvah is a Tsar Tzava, he's the head of the army, you're not supposed to let him leave the Oye Mikvah. He's supposed to stay in the Oye Mikvah, even though Klal Yisrael needs him in some other capacity. The Harik Bishkoga has to.
He can leave for Pekuach Nefesh, but just he can't exit after that.
If he's really needed for Pekuach Nefesh, okay, you have no brain. Okay. But the Mishnah says, even if he's really needed, he shouldn't leave. He's supposed to stay in the Harik Mikvah. Yeah. Rav Soloveitchik thought they should not.
Huh?
Rav Soloveitchik thought some follow Rav Soloveitchik and others follow Chacham Ovadia.
They're
different opinions. No. Many issues in halacha, they're different opinions. So elu v'elu, each group follows their posek. We learned Erevin, so at the end of the first parak, there was a Mishnah, Abo Dvarim Patru Bamachana. When you have a Yiddish army, means like the Chazon Ish writes there in Erevin, the end of the first parak, Yiddish army sponsored by Yiddish government in Eretz Yisrael. He's writing this before Hakamas HaMedina. So they had the Lechi, there was no Yiddish in Medina yet. They're fighting to establish a Medina. So he says, you don't have the Dinim yet. There has to be a Yiddish in Medina that's sponsoring a Jewish army. So then it's a Dinah Machne Yisrael. So Abba Dvarim Patru Bamachne, they have certain leniencies. The one leniency is that they don't have unlimited supply of water. Water is going to be at a premium over there. So they don't have to wash Netilas Yadayim before they want to eat bread. Then the Gemara comments, but my Machrenim, they better wash, because there used to be a Chashash Sakana. You're going to have Melech Sodom, they're going to rub it into their eyes. They're going to harm themselves. So the Gemara is, in the days of the Gemara, the Mayim Achrayim was more important than the Mayim Rishayim. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, the soldiers in the army, we relieve them. They don't have to wash Mayim Rishayim because they don't have enough water. They can't afford it. But Mayim Achrayim, they have to wash. And then about going Chutz L'Tchum, there's a certain leniency. They have a certain Kula. Have Kulas in the Heter and Hilchas Gzela. So the Yerushalmi on that Mishnah, quoted by the Rabbein Chananel, printed on the side of the page in the Gemara, Yishalmi raises a question: how many soldiers do you have together on one location that it should be called a machne? They sent three soldiers somewhere, so that's already called a machne Yisrael. And Abba Dvarim Patrim a machne, they have all of the leniencies. Do you have a minimum number of soldiers? So Yishalmi assumes there is some minimum number of soldiers, but they have three different opinions. So one opinion is if you have 10 soldiers. One opinion is you have to have 1,000 soldiers. Like Elef Lamata, so each Shevet sent 1,000 soldiers. And the other opinion is that it's 24,000 soldiers based on a Pasuk in Divrei Yomim or something. So it's unclear how we Paskin. The Chazanish thinks, based on the Magen Mishnah, we should Paskin 10 soldiers. And he says, we have a concept, 10 soldiers have to be together. We have a concept, Kol Be'asor Ashchinta Sharya. If you have 10 people who want to say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, so we assume that there'll be a Hashuas Hashchina. You mitzarev them to make a minion. And here the Pasuk says, when the soldiers are in the army, they have to be careful. They have to take a shovel with them. They're going to be in the army for a long time. So there's going to be Meraglaim, there's going to be Tzoa. So they have to be careful. Whenever there's Tzoa, they should cover it over. They should take a shovel. Shapta v'chisisa is te'etzecha. And they should be careful. From Erva, Voya Machanecha Kodesh, and the Pasuk says, Ki Hashem Alakecha Misalach Bekerav Machanecha Lahatzilecha, Velosei Savecha Biyadecha Voya Machanecha Kodesh. They should be careful. So the Gemara learns out from this Pasuk that when you daven, or when you learn, you have to be careful. You shouldn't be Keneged Erva, shouldn't be Keneged Tzor, shouldn't be Keneged Meraglan. Where is the Pasuk talking about davening or learning? The Pasuk is talking about waging a war. So the Netziv has a fantastic suggestion on the Pasuk. He says, first he quotes many sources in Chazal that they assume that all wars in the world are the fault of the Jewish people. That's number one. That's what the Humas Olam claim also. All the wars in the world, the Netziv first says, based on the Gemaras, that the Jews, and it's the fault of the Jewish people because of Bittul Torah. That's how it says. Bittul Torah is the Oynash of Bittul Torah, or Paskin and Falsh, is Muhammad. So the Rabbanu Shalom makes a Muhammad in Korea, makes a Muhammad in Vietnam. We should get the hint. If we don't get the hint, so he makes the Muhammad closer to us. We still don't get the hint, then he makes the Muhammad on us, to bap us over the head, to crack open our skull. We should understand that we're not learning Torah. So he has a whole, he develops a whole theme, and this is why, in order to be Menatzech and the Muhammad, we have to see to it that everybody should learn well. So he has a very unusual, very strange suggestion, that when they waged the battle, they had a group of Hezdanikim sitting and learning at the front. So the Pasuk says you should be careful for Tzoya, Meraglaim, and Erva. It means because of the soldiers who are learning, because of the Chevre who are learning there. The Pasuk Pshat in the Gemara is not so. The Gemara that he quotes is in Makkos. Yerushalayim. So the Gemara interprets the Jewish army was successful in battle because of the Shari Torah in Yerushalayim. The people sitting and learning in the Kol Yerushalayim, so in the schus of the Elimina Torah, the soldiers were menatzech in the battle. It's not that they sent the Lomdei Torah to the front, they should sit and learn where they're shooting the guns. They sit and learn in the yeshivas, and the schus of Elimina Torah will be menatzech in the Melcham. So the Poshib Shat in the Pasuk is not the way the Netziv says. Not that you have to be careful for Tzoya Meraglayim and Erva because of the people who are learning Torah. The Pasha Pshat is, like the Chazon Ish says, just like if you want to say a Dovah Shebikdush, you have to have a minion, because Kol Be'asor Ashchinta Sharya, if you have 10 Yidin who want to read, Rav Soloveitchik used to say, if you have 10 people reading the Morgen Shanal, you're going to say Kol Be'asor Ashchinta Sharya. No, it means 10 Jews want to join together to recite Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. To recite a Dovish of Bigdusha. So then we assume the Shekhinah will appear. So here, if you have 10 Jews fighting together, that's what the Chazon Ish says. We accept the opinion 10 people together. not 1,000 and not 24,000. You have 10 people together, he says 10 people who are from a Yidin, who are mashlim a minyan. If you have a guy who doesn't believe in the religion and apikoris is not mitzarv to a minyan, so you don't have the minyan here either. So if you have 10 fruma soldiers who would be mitzarv to a minyan if you would want a daven, so they are mitzarv to bring ki Hashem alakech misalch mikarev machanecha lahatzilecha velosu savecha biyadecha, it's going to be called be'ezhar, shchin tashari. Waging the war on behalf of Klal Yisrael is considered like a dovish b'kedusha. So just like the Torah says you have to be careful Fitzoya Meraglaim and Ervo, when the Shekhinah wants to come to help the soldiers fight the battle, so too the Chazal assumed you have to be careful if people want to daven and want to learn, that's also the Shekhinah is going to be there. Whoever learns the Shekhinah Kenegdoi, when you're davening to the Shekhinah. So they learned it out from the Pasuk. The original Pasuk goes on waging a war. Waging a war is like a Dovish Big Dusha.
What about this? You know, come back and flash me any of our left Berachtika. So even. Any place where Hashem's name is mentioned, Hashem
is going to
be there,
the
Shkinah
is going to
be there.
Basic Nish, I don't know, but the Yerushalmi says you have to have a minimum of a certain number of soldiers. That is, we call the Machane. So the Chazanist thinks that we adopt a position that it's 10. Then he has a discussion, how close do the soldiers have to be? So the Shah says, how close does the minion have to be? If you want to have a minion. So many are of the opinion, based on a Gemara in Erevin, in the middle of Erevin, that a lot of times you have in the base of Oval, they want to have a minion. So let's say you have 18 people in the base of Oval. So you'll have, a lot of times you have 9 people in one room and 9 people in the other room. You won't have, why should they all crowd into one room? So they spread out a little bit. So many poskim hold that that's not good for a minion. You have to have all 10 people have to be in one room. The Mishnah says by benching mezumen, benching basora, if you have 9 people in one room, 9 people in another room, umiktsasim roim elu eselu, some of these people see the others, that's good for benching mezumen basara. So many hold that's only benching mezumen, because that's not really a dovish b'kedusha. But when you want to say kadosh kedusha baruch, you need that all the 10 should be in one room. So many poskim hold for a minyan to dovish b'kedusha, you need all 10 should be in the same room. What if they're not in a room? Let's say the 10 people are davening on the field. So how close do they have to be to each other that they can be mitzarev to a minyan? Have to be within each other's dalet amos? What's the shear? If you have a room, so the walls are mitzarev everybody together, all in the same room. But if it's not in a room, what's the shear? So the Chazon Ish has a fantastic chiddush. We learned the Erevin, so we came across the din. If you have a city has a, there are special dinim. What constitutes a city? Does a din Ari Miklat have a din of city? For the Tchum Shabbos purposes, you have a city. Ari Halvim, there are different dinim that depend on a city. So the Mishnayis have a city al Pidin has to have a minimum of 3 chatzeres, and each chatzer has to have a minimum of 2 batim. How close do the chatzeres have to be to each other? Chatzer means an area that has a mechitza around it, a wall around it. Has a minimum of 2 batim, 2 different families living in 2 different batim in the chotzer. So how close do the chatzeres have to be to each other? So Tosfos writes, it's not mistaber that chatzeres have to be contiguous to each other. Mamish touching each other. One chotzer touching the next chotzer. So Tosfos says, not mistaber. So you have to have episashir. So how far away? You're going to have one chotzer in New York, and one chotzer in St. Louis, and one chotzer in Los Angeles. So you say the whole United States is one big year. So far, 1,000 miles in between, everything has been starved yachad. What's the shear? Has to be not mistab, it should be dalet amos. Dalet amos is too small a shear. So what is the shear that it's appropriate over here? So Taisa says they think the shear is shivim amma v'shirayim, 70 amos. Because the Mishnayis have the din of shivim amma v'shirayim, 70 amos and change, 7.5 amos. With the shear 70 amos is like this. If you have gimel chatzeris that are near each other, to each other, so that's considered the city. But then you have other houses. Let's say you have a city like this, then you have another house, another house, another house, another house. So if each house is within 70 amas to the previous house, so it's considered as if the city extends all the way. If the last house is more than 70 amas away to the previous house, so that's the end of the city. The city ends over there, and that house is michutz lo'ir. Then the next line in the Mishnah says that you draw the city limits approximately as a rectangle. If it's a sloppy, like an amoeba-shaped city, houses all over the place, then you draw the rectangle northeast, southwest. Kifi ruchas oilam. And if, let's say, Manhattan is approximately a rectangle the way it stands, so you don't draw northeast, southwest. You just fill in the rectangle. It's came out the rectangle as it is, so you just fill in the rectangle that it should be considered a full rectangle. So that's the city. So there is a shir, shivim amav shiram, is learned that from a pasuk. It's a difficult drasha from the pasuk, but the Tosfos assumes that it's a real din deraisa. Shivim amav shiram. So the Chazon Ish writes, he thinks that if you have people in a room, so the 10 people, let's say the 3 people in one corner, 3 people in another corner, one person over there, 3 people over here, they're so far away from each other, but they're all in one room, so the walls are mitzar of everybody together. What if the people are not in a room? Sometimes you have the soldiers on an army base, they're davening outside, a campus, they're davening outside, so how close do the mispalim have to be to each other that it's considered the chazaras hashatz, that you can say kaddish kedusha baruch hu? So the Chazon Ish has this chiddush. If the people are within 70 amas to each other, then it's tarfim for a minyan, and the mele them it's tarfim for the soldiers in the army. You have to have 10 people on the army base that it should be considered machne Yisrael, and less than 10 is not called a machne, it's just a group of soldiers. So he thinks that the 10 soldiers have to be within shivim amas of shirayim to each other.
Is it predicated upon about filler? I mean, you can't have such an open, if you can't, in terms of davening, care about filler.
If they can't hear, so they can't hear. So there's nothing to discuss. Okay, that's self understood.
So the concept of being so far away doesn't apply.
Okay, we're talking. Here's a loud shtimmer, and everybody will hear the voice. So the shah says, how far can they be? How far away can they be? Okay. So he thinks that the shir shivim amav shirayim. Poshup shat. Without this Chazon Ish, one would never have thought that the shir shivim amav. Well, shivim amav, the pashta says, that's a distance of houses that are attached to the ground. How far away can the houses be and it's still an extension of the city? How close do the chatzeres have to be to each other that it should constitute a city? So that's a geographic shia on the surface of the earth, shivim amav. But to say people are walking around, if the people are within 70 amas to each other, then it's a very big chiddush. But that's what the Chazon Ish was of the opinion. Yeah. I remember I spent 2 summers in the yeshiva in Kiryat Arba many years ago. I was giving shiurim there. So I remember the first summer I was there, so all the boys were in the army, and they would go around all the time with their rifles. And then when they came to learn in Beis Medrash, they would put the rifles on the floor. They would be learning with the rifles in the Beis Medrash. Sometimes I was afraid I gave a shiur there in the Beis Medrash. If they don't like the shiur, they're going to shoot me. They didn't. I survived. So I remember I brought to their attention there's a din of Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Beis HaKnesses, you're not allowed to come with a weapon into the shul or into a Beis HaMedrash. I remember there used to be a religious policeman who used to daven in my father's shul, so he sometimes wanted to come in to daven in Chemayrif. So my father always told me, you have to leave your revolver in the office, you're not allowed to enter the shul with the gun. If it's Megula, if it's Mechusa, if it's covered over with his jacket, is okay. But if it's a sack and Megula, if it's a weapon that's Megula, you're not allowed to. So I remember I used to tie it to them the first summer I was there. I said, that's not right, you're not allowed to come. So they said, no, everything is okay. 2 years later, I came back another summer, so they already had a whole system that they don't take the guns, they don't take the rifles into the Beis Medrash. In Keren B'Yavne, they never took the rifles into the Beis Medrash. There's always a closet outside of the Beis Medrash. If it's really Mokam Sakona, so sometimes it's not smart to leave all the rifles outside. Sometimes you need the rifle immediately. Okay, so if it's really such a Mokam Sakona, Adminish Kembrera. But if it's not such a Mokam Sakona, then it then says you're not supposed to take a Saka Megula, you're not supposed to take a weapon into the shul. I remember in Kiryat Arba, it's a 15-minute walk from the Moras HaMachpelah. So on Shabbos, half of the yeshiva would go daven in the Moras HaMachpelah, half of the yeshiva would daven in the yeshiva. So once in a long while, I would daven in the Moras HaMachpelah also. So I was wondering, when they go to the Moras HaMachpelah, so there's an Erev all the way. It's not a big highway. It's a two by nothing. The whole highway is nothing. To go from Kiryat Arba to Hebron. Unfortunately, there was a whole massacre there. I was in Eretz Yisrael in Parshas Vayetze. So it was the 10th Yahrzeit. It was the 10th anniversary. There was a big massacre 10 years ago. Leil Shabbos, Friday night, Parshas Vayetze. There were three Arab terrorists. When everybody finished davening in Maros HaMapel, everybody went home. So these guys started shooting and they killed at this 16 people. Because the Jews were not organized. It was so haphazard. So they succeeded in killing 16 people till they quieted the tumult. So so whenever they go from the yeshiva to daven in Maros HaMachpelah on Shabbos, so they always take their rifles with them to make sure that they have protection. So there's no issue of carrying. They have a whole erev on the whole highway. The highway is Nishkin Rishus Rabin Derais over there. It's not so heavily trafficked. So there's no issue of Hoitzah. But the Shaila was Muktzah. Maybe they should daven in the yeshiva. Why do they have to? They have soldiers stationed in the Maros HaMachpelah to maintain the peace over there. Good, so they have to. But why should they be permitted to walk to the Maros HaMachpelah to daven there? Stay in the yeshiva, and you won't have to handle your rifle. So remember, I raised that issue also. So at that time, Rav Avram Shapiro was the Rosh Yeshiva in America. So he was considered like Rav Shach was in the other yeshiva. He was the chief Rosh Yeshiva. So Rabbi Avram was the big poisek for all of the Hezdi yeshivas. Until they had a breakaway, about 15 years ago they had a breakaway. Some of the Talmidim from America Zahar broke away, and then that they already splintered the authority, took away from the authority of Rabbi Avram. So they said, Rabbi Avram Shapira said that it's permissible based on the Ravid and the Tmim Deim. The Gemara says, HaKoyne Sod the Besuria, Gemara Gittin, the Abches and the Bey says, if you buy a field from a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael, even in Surya, where it's only Kedusha, Saritz, and the Rabbanim, but in Eretz Yisrael, so the Gemara says, you're allowed a right to shtar even on Shabbos. When you buy the field from the Goy, because from all of Ono, you're permitted to write the shtar. Ono means the strength, the kach, the shtar. I feel it be Shabbos. Frankly more, what do you mean? You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to buy a field from the Goy? It doesn't make any sense. Huh? So the Gemara says, Amir Lenachri. We allow them to ask a Goy. Even though Amir Lenachri is usually prohibited mid the Rabbanon, if it would be an Issa Deraisa, there wouldn't be any Hetter. Since Amir Lenachri is only forbidden mid the Rabbanon, so the Mokam Mitzvah is Yishav Eretz Yisrael, we allow it. We allow Amir Lenachri. So the Tosfos there in Chesam Beis and Gittin has a whole discussion. How far does it have to go? So the Baluiter is quoted in Shulchan Aruch that Amir Lenachri is always Mutter B'Mokam Mitzvah, any Mitzvah. And others disagree and they say no, only. Some say the Goy is going to write the Shtar in Arabic. He doesn't know how to write Ksav Ashuris. He's going to write in Arabic, or he's going to write in English, or he's going to write in some other script other than Ksav Ashuris. He's going to write in Hebrew, but he's not going to write in Ksav Ashuris. So there is a minority opinion that writing any other script other than Ksav Ashuris is only an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's a wild cheetah. So to ask a Goy to write a Shtar is a Shuz, the Shuz B'Maka Mitzvah. That's why it's Mutter. To write any script other than Ksav Ashuris or Greek. These two aksiva derais. So the Mishnah Berurah says we don't hold like that, but the Ramah quotes like that. It's only mutter if the ksav of the shtar is going to be some other script other than ksav ashuris or ksav yamat. So it's a difficult gemara. Why are yamat there? Amir lenachri? We hold Amir lenachri is only mutter b'makom yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Why? And then there's a machlokes in Poskim. What if you live in a country? The Jews in Russia had this for quite a few years. If you want to buy a ticket to travel out of town by plane, so the ticket office to buy a ticket to go to Eretz Yisrael is only open on Shabbos. So if a Jew wanted to leave Russia to go to Eretz Yisrael, he would have to be Mechal Shabbos. He would have to come with a Goy and have the Goy carry the money with him. He wanted to give the Jews a hard time. So to leave Russia was Stama Sakonis Defat, Pikuch Nefosh. So if you live in Russia, your life was in danger. So Stam. I remember my father-in-law told me that in the middle of the war, so he traveled on to Vladivostok. He all traveled on the transcontinental railroad. And then he was in Vladivostok, and then he was there on Simchas Torah, and they said, okay, there's a boat going to America now. So he said, Simchas Torah? I should go to America. They said, are you crazy? This is your last chance. Either you go today, or you're going to get stuck here. So he was so petrified. He was Michal Yontov. He went on Yontov. That's why he never wanted to talk about it. People always wanted to know, how was he Nitzel? His Chaver Matan, how was he Nitzel? He never wanted to talk about it. He was so embarrassed. And it turns out that was the last boat, and all the rest of the chevre had to go to Japan, and then they had to stay a couple of years in Shanghai. They were stuck there for a long time. He was stuck on the last boat out from Vladivostok. So the Yerushalmi, the Raivin and the Tmimdeim, quotes from the Yerushalmi, Amir l'nochri izmuta b'makam yishev Eretz Yisrael, Sharei Yericho fell on Shabbos. The Pasuk says that for 7 days they had to march around Yericho once, and then on the seventh day they marched around seven times and they blew shofar and the walls came tumbling down. So when were the 7 days? So the Yerushalmi has a tradition, the Gemara has it also, the Bavli. The 7 days were Sunday through Shabbos, and Yericho was conquered on Shabbos. So the Yerushalmi says the reason why Kosfer Molov Ono Afilu B'Shabbos were permitted to ask the Goy to write the Shtar that when we want to buy up the field from the Goy, we're allowed to do it. Mo'achin Yishav Eretz Yisrael is because Yericho was conquered on Shabbos. So that's what a lot of Achrayim say. That's for Yishav Eretz Yisrael to buy up the field from a Goy. Let's say I live in Russia, it's a Sakonis Nefoshis. I should try to get out even if you have to be Mechal Shabbos with the real Melacha Deraisa. Let's say you live in another country, there's no Sakonis Nefoshis. But you like to live in Eretz Yisrael, you want to do Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. Is it permissible to ask a Goy to carry the money and to go to the office, to travel office, to make the arrangement? So many Achrayim say no, that's a different mitzvah. Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. A private person wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, that's his private mitzvah. To buy up Eretz Yisrael from the Goyim, that's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It should be in Jewish control, even if there's no Yiddish Medina there. It should be in Jewish control, that's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that's a mitzvah derabbi. So the Yerushalmi puts it together. Yerushalmi says that there were Koivish Yericho on Shabbos, and therefore it's permissible to have the Goy write the Shtar on Shabbos. So what's the connection? What's the comparison? So the Rabbi explains in the Tmim Deim, for the purpose of real Kibush HaOretz, in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, that was real Kibush Eretz Yisrael, they were conquering the land. So then you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos, even with a Melacha Deraisa, Yericho fell on Shabbos. They could have had a pause, they could have taken off a day, and they could have continued the war on Sunday. They didn't. The Halacha said, once you start, you shouldn't start the war L'chatchila on Shabbos, 3 days before Shabbos, if you can avoid it. But once they started the war on Sunday, they started encircling Yericho, so they captured Yericho on Shabbos. And when you're doing real Kibush Eretz Yisrael, you're even allowed to be Mechal Shabbos with the Melacha Deraisa. When you buy the land up from the Goyim, and it's under Jewish control, that's not full Kibush Eretz Yisrael. That's a partial Kibush Eretz Yisrael. So since it's only a Mikzas Kibush, it's going to be in Jewish hands as opposed to non-Jewish hands, so you're only permitted to violate Yisurim Derabbanan. Amir Lenachri is Mutter. So that's what they said. Rabbi Avram Shapiro said, if the Jews from Kiryat Arba will not go to Davin in the Moros HaMachpelah on Shabbos and Yontif, so it means that we don't have full control of the Moros HaMachpelah. So the Yarbas will tons. The Yarbas will come in throngs on Shabbos and Yontif. So in order that there should be a stronger kibush, it's not really a kibush. Eretz Yisrael is under Jewish control. Kiryat Hebron was under, is at that time it was more under Jewish control than it is now. People were not afraid to walk around at night without anything because there were soldiers all over the place. There was no Sofik Sakon at all at that time in Hebron. Everything was under control.
Isn't this the Taina Rafenla for going up to the Har HaBayis?
Yeah. It's a very strong Taina. Very strong Taina. If the Jews are not going to go, then the guy will claim that they're the Balabatim. Yes. So that's what Avram said. Based on that Ravid, he thought that it would be permissible for the Jews from Kiryat Arba to go to the Moros HaMachpelah. They're not violating Kotzor because there was an Erev. The only thing they're violating is Tiltal Muktzeh. So the Tiltal Muktzeh is only a Nisa de Rabbanon. So he felt that the Mokum partial kibush of Eretz Yisrael is not a real kibush. It was under Jewish control already, but it should be a stronger presence than Shabbos Yontem. It should be 7 days a week.
Is it?
Yeah. So he felt that one would be allowed to violate the Rabbonis. I remember that year, that summer, when I visited Rabbeinish Finkel. So he wanted to know, where was I? So I was in Kiryat Arba. So he said, what were you doing there? You don't belong there. I should be by him. I should eat all the meals by him. So he said, what issues came up? So I told him this issue. So he said, the Shaila was about the rifles, that the rifles are Klisha Malachta Liyasa. He said, why is it a Klisha Malachta Liyasa? They think they're going to use it, and if they have to use it, it's mutter, so it's a klish malachta l'heta. He said with a straight face. I think he was kidding. The din in Shulchan Aruch, let's say you have a bris on Shabbos, a milah bizman is decha Shabbos. So the izemol shel milah, there's a discussion. Is it called a kalisha malachta li'iser? Or do you say, no, if you have a milah is decha Shabbos, that's kalisha malachta leheter. So he was saying, betamimus, if they're going to need their rifle, so it's a mutter, it's a makam mitzvah then. So they're taking it along in case they're going to have to use it. So he didn't see why there should be any issue. Stop me, he was kidding. I remember Rav Soloveitchik once mentioned that as a child, he hardly ever visited Rav Chaim. The last year and a half of Rav Chaim's life, he spent a lot of time with Rav Chaim. They were together all the time in Warsaw. But as a young child, he hardly ever visited Rav Chaim. But he said on one occasion he visited Brisk, and Rav Chaim gave a drosha commenting on the Nusach HaTfilah that we say in Alanisim for Chanukah, say, Raftos Rivam, Dantos Dinam, Nakamtes Nikmosam. And we say the same after we finish Mikra Megillah. We say, HaRabbis Rivenu, Adonis Dinenam, HaNoikem Es Nikmosenu. We have the three expressions. So he said, Rav Chaim quoted a Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah, I think it was Vayishlach, I'm not sure. So one of these parshas in Bereshit. Medrash Rabbah points out there's a stira between two psukim about the way that when the Rebbe Shlom is judging the world, does he sit or does he stand? So one pasuk says, Nitzav l'ariv Hashem, the Rebbe Shlom is standing. The other pasuk says that he's sitting. So which is it? Does he sit, does he stand? He doesn't have a body, does he sit, he doesn't stand. But it's what is it supposed to represent? So the Medrash says it depends whether he's judging the Masalim or he's judging the Yisrael. So what does it mean? So the standard Mefarshim on the Medrash give one pshat, and Rav Chaim gave a different pshat. The standard Mefarshim on the Medrash say, based on the Gemara and the Dorim, the Gemara talks about Hataras and Dorim. You need a bezin to make Hataras and Dorim. So the Gemara has a machlokes. There are two ways to be matined, either Pesach or Charata. So if the person says, I have Charata, I was too angry and I took a neder, I was too excited, I was too elated, I took a neder, I wasn't in a state of equilibrium. Has charata that he ever took the neder in the first place, he wasn't in his normal balanced mood. So that's one way to be matan neder. So one, and then the Pesach means, he says, in all honesty, I didn't realize how I'm going to get into trouble. He took a neder not to attend his niece's wedding. Ooh, the Shvigah is going to kill him. Shvigah is not going to talk to him because he didn't show up at the other grandchild's wedding, whatever. So if I would have realized that the Shvigah is going to kill me, so I would never have taken the neder. Or something like that, a Pesach. So the Gemara has a machlekes, can you be matan neder poschen b'charata? Can you be matan neder 1, 2, 3 b'charata is very easy. Or they say, no, you have to have a Pesach, which takes much longer to figure out whether the Pesach is correct, whether the Pesach is authentic. So the Gemara says, if you hold poschen b'charata, it's very easy, it doesn't need so much iyun. So the bezin for Hataras and Dorm can be Bamida. They don't need so much iyun. They don't have to think into it so deeply. But if the din is only Poschem B'Pesach, ain't Poschem B'Charata, so Pesach you need more Yishuv Hadas, so the bezin should sit to make sure that they think through the whole thing properly, that whether it's really a Pesach. So some of the standard Meforshim on the Medrash Rabbah say that's what the Medrash means. When the Baruch Shalom judges B'nai Yisrael, says 1, 2, 3, he's not interested in looking so deeply into the Averis that we do. So that's a superficial judgment. So he does it quickly. Nitzav l'riv Hashem. He stands, he does it. But he wants to judge Dumas Oilam. So then he sits and he clears Arayin and he picks on every Aver and he's going to punish. That's how the standard Mefarshim say. So Rav Chaim didn't think that was correct. That's not fair. So he thought it means a different thing. Yeshiva versus Amida doesn't mean whether he's Ma'ayin or not. Not like the Gemara says in the Dorim, Poschim bePesach. Then you need Iyun, then you need Yeshiva, and Poschem Acharata, then you don't need Iyun, you can do Bamida. He thought it's a different word. But we say, Raftas Rivam, Dantos Dinam, Nakamtas Nikmasam. So the Rebbe Shalom told Avram Avina by the Bris, Ben Absarm, Gamas Agoya Sheyavod, Dononoichi. What do you mean, Dononoichi? It should say, Odun, I will judge them. So Don sounds like the Baldin arguing out the case. The Rebbe Shalom, if it's a Dintur between the Jews and the Umas Oilam, so the Rebbe Shalom taines out the case on behalf of Klal Yisrael. That's what it means. Raftas Rivam, you act as the Baldin to argue out the case. The din is the Baldin has to be Bamida, and the Dayan has to be Yeshiva. So when it's Bnei Yisrael, are the Toiveya, and the Umas Oilam, are the Nitva, so the Rebbe Shalom acts Taininim, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. Psach picha le'ilim. If a person does know how to speak, so you have to open up your mouth for him. The person is a lab bar taina. Let's say you have the same malukuchas. They don't know the history of the karka. So bezin taina is maybe there's a cheskas abata. Maybe he brought the field. Maybe he purchased the field. If the one, the baldin, doesn't know the whole background, so bezin should do taininan on his behalf. So here the Medrash means to say when it's Bnei Yisrael are the Tevea, Numas are the Mother Nitva, so the Rebbe Shalom is Rafta Srima, he argues out the case on our behalf. He acts like the Baldin, has to be Bamida. Then Dantas Dinam, he acts like the Dayan to judge the case. Then the Kamtas and Kmasim, he acts as the Shoter to bring about the punishment that the people deserve. But when it's Umas Olam against another Umas Olam, the Rebbe Shalom doesn't tain on their behalf. He's not going to be Taninam. He's not going to argue on their behalf. That's what he heard from Rab Chaim. That's the pshat in the Medrash, and that's the pshat, the tefillah shayness in the tefillah. Then Rab Soloveitchik added on, but why should that be so? Why does the Rabbanu Shel Olam act taininan on behalf of Klal Yisrael? So he said several suggestions. He said one suggestion was based on the Kuzari, that Kuzari discusses anti-Semitism. Where does it all come from? What is the root of all the anti-Semitism? So the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi quotes from the Gemara in Erevin that the real name for Har Sinai is Har Chorev. And Har Sinai is a nickname. What is it a nickname for? Shemisham Yod Sin Eloilam. The whole anti-Semitism comes from the fact the Rabbanu Shalom offered the Torah to the Umas Olam and they turned it down. They thought it's too difficult to observe. And then Bnei Yisrael said, okay, we'll try. And more or less we try, we succeed to a certain extent. And they could have also said, we'll try. And they chose not to. So because of the fact that we accepted the Torah and we represent the Rabbanu Shel Olam in this world, so that's why there's a jealousy, that's why there's an anti-Semitism towards the Jews. It's really their merit against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're angry at the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So all the attacks that they attack the Jewish people, all the pogroms and everything, is really their attacks against the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam is the Baldin. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam is the Baldin. So that's why Raftas Rivam. That's why Nitzo Liriya Hashem. That's why the Rabbanu Shel Olam has to stand in the Din Torah against the Umas Olam, because they're really attacking him, they're not attacking us. He's really the Baldin. That was one suggestion. Then he gave another suggestion that we really don't know what to taina. How many Jews were killed by the Nazis? So now they say 6 million Jews. I remember when I was a little boy, right after the war, they said 9 million Jews were killed by the Nazis. They said 6 million Jews, the Nazis have kept records, they kept precise records. With all the numbers on the arm, they kept records. But then they killed another 3 million Jews without records. They didn't keep records of every single person that they killed. They killed so many more millions of people. So we don't even know how many people they killed. We don't know how much Torah was destroyed, how many Svarim were burned, how many shuls were destroyed. We don't even know what to taina. So that's Takeh Psach Picha Le'ilim. We don't even know what to taina. So the Rebbeinu Shalom acts on our behalf to present the taina. Then he gave several other suggestions also why the Rabbanu Shalom has to tie nice on behalf of Klal Yisrael. But we are fortunate the Rabbanu Shalom does all three. He takes care of Bnei Yisrael, is Rav Das Rivam, Dan Das Dinam and the Kamtas Nikmasim. He acts as the Baldin to present the Tainas, and then Hu Adayan, and then Hu HaShoiter. The Rabbanu Shalom acts as the Shoiter, then as the Shoiter. He should continue for many years to come. Okay.
Rameir stammt from Amulek, from Esav, and a lot of time the Gemara calls Achayrim. Achayrim is Rameir. So